This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Medicine, published in 2026, titled Effect of Anterior Cervical Discectomy and Fusion versus Laminoplasty on Spinocranial Angle in Patients with Multilevel Cervical Spondylotic Myelopathy, a retrospective cohort study.
This is a timely topic, Ilara. Multilevel Cervical Spondylotic Myelopathy, or MCSM, is a staple of our practice. When we're dealing with three or more segments of compression, whether it's from disc degeneration, osteophytes, or ligamentous hypertrophy, the debate between an anterior approach like ACDF and a posterior approach like laminoplasty is always at the forefront of our surgical planning.
Exactly. And while we know both procedures generally improve health-related quality of life, the best approach for correcting deformity and maintaining sagittal balance is still controversial. This study specifically zeroes in on a relatively new parameter, the spinocranial angle, or SCA.
Before we get into the data, let's define that for our residents and students. How did the authors define the SCA in this cohort?
The authors define the SCA as the angle between a line from the sella turcica center to the C7 end plate and the C7 plateau line. In a normal population, it usually fluctuates around 83 degrees, plus or minus 9. What makes it unique is that it doesn't just look at the cervical base, it considers the weight of the head and is directly related to horizontal fixation function.
It's a more global view of cervical balance. Now, tell us about the study design. Who were these patients?
It was a retrospective cohort of 120 patients treated between 2014 and 2021 by the same surgeon. 51 patients underwent ACDF and 69 underwent laminoplasty, or LP. They had a solid follow-up period, a minimum of 24 months. The researchers looked at several sagittal metrics, the SCA, the C2-C7 Cobb angle, C7-VSA, and a surrogate C7 slope, since the T1 slope isn't always visible on standard films.
And for the clinical side?
They used the standard batteries, JOA scores, to calculate the neurological recovery rate, the neck disability index, or NDI, and the SF-36 for quality of life.
Let's get to the meat of it. What happened to these patients 2 years out?
Both groups saw significant improvements in quality of life metrics. That's the good news. However, when you look at the neurological recovery rate, ACDF actually came out on top. The ACDF group had a recovery rate of 50.50% compared to 44.98% in the laminoplasty group. That difference was statistically significant with a p-value of 0.026.
That's a meaningful difference in the clinic. What about the NDI?
Similarly, the ACDF group had a lower, meaning better, NDI at final follow-up, 12.90 versus 14.97 in the LP group.
Interesting. Now, the crux of this paper is the sagittal balance and the SCA. What did the radiographs show?
This is where it gets very technical. At the final follow-up, the ACDF group showed a larger C7 slope and a larger C2-C7 Cobb angle. But interestingly, ACDF resulted in a reduced SCA, a reduced T1-CA, which is the T1 slope minus the Cobb angle, and a reduced C7-VSA compared to the laminoplasty group.
Let's pause there for a second for the residents. A reduced C7-VSA generally suggests the head is more balanced over the shoulders, less forward lean. But let's talk about that SCA reduction in the ACDF group. The paper mentions that ACDF independently drove that reduction. Why is that significant?
Well, the multivariate analysis confirmed that ACDF was an independent predictor for lower follow-up NDI. But here's the kicker. An elevated delta SCA, the change in that angle, independently aggravated the NDI. Specifically, the beta coefficient was 0.38 with a p-value of 0.002. So how much you change that angle during surgery seems to directly impact the patient's self-reported neck disability.
So, if I'm interpreting the study's findings correctly, ACDF is more effective at resetting the sagittal balance in a way that correlates with better clinical outcomes, whereas laminoplasty, being an indirect posterior decompression and non-fusion technique, has different biomechanical effects.
Exactly. The paper highlights that ACDF provides direct anterior decompression and fusion, which changes the mechanics of the cervical spine differently than the indirect, non-fusion nature of laminoplasty. ACDF was found to independently drive that postoperative SCA reduction.
It's worth noting for our listeners that the authors used linear mixed effects models. They adjusted for age, gender, BMI, and the number of operative segments. This wasn't just a simple comparison. They were really trying to isolate the effect of the surgery type and the sagittal shifts.
Right. And even after all those adjustments, ACDF stood out for its impact on the NDI and the neurological recovery rate. However, they did note that neither the choice of surgery nor the change in SCA was an independent predictor for the JOA recovery rate itself.
That's an important distinction. The JOA recovery might be more about the decompression of the cord itself, while the NDI, the neck disability, is more tied to these sagittal parameters like the SCA. It's the difference between how the spinal cord is functioning and how the patient's neck actually feels and moves in daily life.
That's a great way to put it. The study suggests that for patients with multilevel cervical spondylotic myelopathy, the anterior approach might be superior for achieving that balance, but they are very careful to say that surgical selection should still be individualized based on the patient's specific pathology and baseline sagittal balance.
Of course, no study is perfect. What were the limitations they acknowledged?
The primary one is the retrospective, non-randomized design. Patients actually chose their surgical method after the options were explained to them, which introduces selection bias. They also used the C7 slope as a surrogate because the T1 slope was often obscured by the shoulders on radiography. They're calling for prospective randomized trials to verify these findings.
It's always the case in spine surgery. We need more class 1 evidence. But in the meantime, this provides a very strong argument for looking closely at the SCA when planning multilevel cases. If we can predict how ACDF will pull that spinal cranial angle into a more favorable position for the patient's NDI, that's a win.
Definitely. To summarize for our listeners, in this 24-month follow-up of MCSM patients, ACDF resulted in better NDI scores and a higher neurological recovery rate than laminoplasty. It also significantly reduced the SCA and C7 VSA.
And that reduction in SCA was a key independent predictor of better NDI outcomes. It really emphasizes that we're not just decompressing nerves, we're re-engineering the sagittal alignment of the head and neck.
Well said, Dr. Aris. This study definitely gives us a new metric to track in our post-op films.
It certainly does. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.
We'll see you next time.